This message comes from NPR sponsor, the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited 2x miles on every purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
We want to hear from you about how we're doing. You can help us improve Alt Latino by taking some time to answer some questions about the show. And we want to hear from everyone, including our new listeners. Please go to npr.org/AltLatinoSurvey. That's one word, Alt Latino Survey. Thanks. You know what I like, Anna?
What do you like, Felix?
I like a lot of things. But I really enjoy, over the years we've been doing Alt Latino, finding artists right as they're moving beyond their local environment, their local fans, their local home and all that, making a space for themselves in the public out there with all the listeners. And then watching them get that spark, that chispa, and then just really take off.
Well, it's a lucky thing that that is precisely what we get this week with Mexican vocalist Silvana Estrada. I mean, she is at that precipice, perfect, transformative moment. I feel like everything is just happening for her right now. She's got a Latin Grammy, 2 Latin Grammy nominations under her belt. She recently performed on the Kelly Clarkson show. She did that show that I talk about 25,000 times a day to you, Felix, at the LA Phil, Canto en Resistencia. I mean, she's really getting all over the map. And I think a huge part of that is a product of her effervescence as a musician. Pero si un día tú me encuentras y ahora piensas diferente, te guardo mi luz de mañana, mis ojos, mi amor y mi alma. Before, her music was just channeling everything that she had up until that point in her life. It was like, this is representative of my experiences and my family and my home. And so much about Marchita and her releases before was like, this is everything that is inside of me and my history and my legacy. And I'm going to try to represent this musically, just me and my cuatro. And that's what's going to go out into the world. And then you hit like that point where it's like, I put everything out there that is everything that I am. And now I'm starting in a completely different space and I'm building music that is not built on a whole lifetime and a childhood of experiences, but rather like me now as a musician interacting with the world, seeing the effects of my music. And I think that you can really see that she is being really thoughtful and intentional about that.
That is just about every musician's experience. You have a whole life to put together that first album, then you got a year and a half to put together the second. Okay? That's what's happening. And the truly great artists are able to deliver on that second one and improve on the first.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a feeling that that's what we're going to get from Silvana Estrada. And in the conversation that we had, as you'll hear, she touches on all the things that have brought her to this space right now. And it's a way of like opening it up and seeing all of these magic elements and then wrapping it up again so that we can watch it develop and grow.
Vulnerability is one of the most beautiful things I've been working with. I really want people to feel safe enough to go to those spaces, you know, inner spaces where they need to be vulnerable, you know, in order to heal, in order to understand, in order to feel. And I think a concert is like a great mirror of society.
Mm.
It's like, the other day I was in Rosalía's concert. It blew my mind. And, you know, she's like so unique and she does all this dancing and singing and she's so virtuosa, no?
Yeah.
And people were like smiling or crying or dancing, you know. And I was like, this is a beautiful example of what life should be, you know, like everybody together, but feeling what is going on inside them. And understanding also what Rosalía is trying to say. And it's like this, como esta no sé, como este entender al otro sin juzgarlo. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to say that in English. Like, como entenderte a ti para entender a los demás.
Yeah.
Understand yourself and understand the others around you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly.
Taking into consideration the two Latin Grammy nominations, my experience watching other artists has been that your career will most likely take off into another level, maybe play in bigger venues. Hmm. How do you think that will impact, or will it impact, this sentiment of intimacy that you just talked so vividly about?
Sometimes the intimacy, it's more like an energy than an actual physical space. For example, this summer I've been doing a lot of festivals, and, you know, those spaces are everything but intimate. It's like outside and people is drinking, and sometimes they're standing or sitting. But I try every time to create that energy. I feel if I start to do like bigger venues, I will do all I can to bring that sensation of... Because I know, for example, Natalia Lafourcade, I remember when she did like 8 big theaters, no, in Ciudad de Mexico. It was the Metropolitan, and she did like 8 Metropolitans. And I remember every show, it's a huge, huge theater, no? And every show, it was so intimate. At the end of the show, you know, she used to go out just with her guitar and sing a couple of songs, and that was the end of it. And everybody was like watching her like so desnuda, so transparent in her ways. And I learned so much in that moment. I was like, oh, so maybe this intimacy that she's creating is not because of the space, it's because of what she's doing, no? So I like to think that even if I do like bigger venues, I will at least try to keep the vulnerability.
It's so funny that you bring this up, and bringing up Rosalía specifically and Natalia, and we've been very lucky in this new kind of like iteration of our show to be talking to a lot of strong women, and we spoke with Rosalía recently and Carla Morrison too, and both of them were kind of talking about trying to create this experience, right, with their performances that is not just about putting on the show, but building that connection. Carla, I think, describes it as like a spiritual journey with like 5 acts.
For sure.
And Rosalía is talking all about like really wanting to own it and showcase her confidence. And so I'm curious for you in performing, is there anything, are there choices you're making or experiences that you're trying to cultivate, things that you're doing to create something with those performances?
You know, sometimes I just feel like I'm going to explode because I'm singing. I'm feeling so much that I feel in my chest like, whoa, I'm going to explode. So now I'm trying to play with this idea of bringing silence and sound and like waves in the sea, no? Mm-hmm. Just like being able to create like this consistency of highs and lows. Mm-hmm. Just like a meditation. And I started to do it because that brings me peace. Sometimes because I'm singing, every time I'm singing from this really raw part of my heart.
Right.
You know, Marchita is like my whole story. And even if that story is old, every time that I'm singing Marchita, I feel like I'm putting everything. So I've been trying to create this silence and then music and then words and then, you know, just playing in order to create like a path where I can find that intensity but with joy. Me ha costado tanto y tanto que ya mi alma se marchita y se deshacen lagrimitas que se olvidaron de rezar. Y si yo hubiera sabido que para ti era tan poco, hubiera sido más prudente al entregarte el corazón. lately I've been trying to bring more light to my shows. It's funny, it's always crazy to listen, like, the colleagues' experiences, no? Like, mm-hmm. Carla Morrison, because... Yeah. Or Rosalía, I think everyone has like a journey and it's so personal. Even if what we do, it's so social, ¿no? Y lo que, y al final nuestra, our journey is, it's for us, only for us, even if we're sharing everything we're learning. But I try to keep that to myself, ¿no? Like, I'm doing this and we are all here, but the journey... The real thing is, like, inside me, and I really want to respect that.
When you're talking about these performances, I remember when I saw you here in D.C., there were people who got up to dance, to move their bodies, because they were carried away by, the energy and the spirit of the song. How does being able to feel those bodies physically reacting to your music, how has that impacted the way you're approaching music now?
I love that, esa pregunta, because I've been... composing, especially when I was on the quarantine, when we were all locked down, I did a lot of songs and I've been working on them for my next album. Suddenly I thought, like, all of this music has, like, so much more rhythm than Marchita. All of this music is like, there's something in these new songs that I've been doing. I feel like there's some type of generosity in this new music that I'm doing where... I don't know, the melodies are like more, not simple, but more like everybody can sing them. Of course, I'm not a composer that will do a like, or maybe sometimes, but I don't have like the tools now to do, I don't know, like a bachata or a salsa. But I can see in what I'm doing now. I have like a more clear idea of who is going to take my music. Because I did Marchita in this complete solitude, not even thinking of an outside world. And I do feel like the music that I'm doing now, I do think more in my community, in what I want to create in the shows. And for sure, there's way more light, there's way more rhythm. Also, Natalia told me once, you need to create things that people can take for themselves forever.
Wow.
And I've been working on that a lot.
You once spoke to me about the idea that kind of like your music transcends language a little bit and that people, even if they don't speak Spanish, they can feel the effects of it. And I think that that is absolutely true. But I think beyond that, like seeing so many people gathered listening to your music from like a U.S. Latino perspective, right? Like in this country, to see all these young Latinos gathered and so emotionally evoked by what you were doing, like that's the power to rally a community in a way. That's really, really beautiful.
Yeah. And you know, that feeling of what is community now? What is identity now, in this world of complete globalization. Every time that I'm singing for an audience, I feel like there's a we. We are something. I've been touring here in the United States, and every time it's like, I want us to feel proud of what we are doing here. Because it takes courage to be in a stage, but also take courage to go out and buy a ticket and go to a show and sing and feel and cry and laugh and dance, We are creating something magical. And of course, it has a lot to do with spirituality. There's a togetherness that you can see in every spiritual ritual, no?
Mm-hmm.
I definitely love that. And every time that I'm singing, of course, hearing you say there's a lot of like Latino community going to my shows and singing, and I feel like there's something deeper than the music, definitely beyond the concert that we are like taking with us after the show.
Brindo por el río y el silencio, para regresar a casa aunque esté lejos. Brindo por cruzarme en tu camino. Y así mi voz vuelve a tener sentido. Brindo por hacer tu piel destino y por volver a
We'll hear more from Silvana Estrada right after this break.
The Indicator from Planet Money is a daily podcast that helps you make sense of what's happening in the economy. And video games are a growing slice of that economy, with billions of people around the world identifying as gamers. That's why we're dedicating a week-long series to the growing business of video games. Listen to the Indicator from Planet Money podcast on NPR.
Support for NPR and the following message come from Carvana, on a mission to make car buying more convenient and affordable than ever before. In minutes, you can browse thousands of options under $20,000. Visit Carvana.com or download the app today to get started.
If you've never donated to the NPR network before, that's okay. Public radio is available to everyone for free. But we do rely on listener support from those who are able to give. So join the community of supporters for Public Media Giving Days, coming up on May 1st and 2nd. Please give at donate.npr.org, and thank you.
Instead of scrolling mindlessly, engage mindfully with the NPR app. With a mix of on-demand news, stories from this station, and your favorite podcast, you can relax without shutting off your brain. Download the NPR app today.
There are a lot of issues on voters' minds right now. Six big ones could help decide the election: guns, reproductive rights, immigration, the economy, healthcare, and the wars overseas. On the Consider This podcast from NPR, we will unpack the debates on these issues and what's at stake. You can listen to NPR's Consider This wherever you get your podcasts.
Another form of community, an important part of your music, is your family.
Yeah.
And specifically, I always love hearing about your parents, the instrument makers, you know, again, as musicians.
It's so romantic.
You know what I mean?
I'm like, ah, just thinking about your tiny desk, living in their beautiful instrument shop.
Yeah.
I'm curious to know how their relationship to your music has evolved.
They always have been like really, really respectful and loving and caring. Now, they're definitely like, okay, Silvana's doing well. You know, when I started, they were so, you know, this is the funniest thing. They are classical musicians and they also are luthiers. They are instrument makers, as you said. And when I started to create my own songs, they were like so worried because I quit school, jazz school, no? And they were like, Silvana, what are you doing? What are you going to do? No? And I moved to Mexico City without money, without literally no plan, no job. And I started and I worked so hard, so hard. And even if they were like worried, they respected my decision. At the moment when they saw like how passionate I was about my own project, they were like, okay, we don't know what's going to happen with Silvana, but at least she's doing everything she can and that's enough for us. At first, of course, they were really nervous. When I first moved to Ciudad de Mexico, I was living in like this terrible neighborhood and this really, really small like service room, you know? And they were like, okay, Silvana, okay, está haciendo lo que puede. And, you know, and
the
now,
parent in Felix is like, oh,
yeah,
I'm stressed.
I totally get it. Yeah,
yeah, I can imagine, no? That sense of, oh my God, I want to protect her, but also she needs to, you know, open sus alas. And now they have become like this great critics. They helped me so much, like especially my mother. Every time that I show her something, she always has like the perfect words. And you know, they're musicians, so they're never like, yeah, it's perfect, or yeah, it's cute. They're always like, hey, maybe you need to work this more, or this sounds like somebody else that doesn't remind me to your sound. They're like mis aliados, you know. I love them so much and I really care about their opinion, and I'm in this point of my life that I really, really enjoy to hear their opinions, because now they're judging me from a really respectful and equal side. It's not like when you're starting and their opinions are more like, we're worried about you, no?
Yeah.
I love that so much because I'm like, as you talk about putting so much of yourself into your music, like, what better people to be the ultimate kind of like critics and shapers of that than people who know you better than anyone, you know?
Yeah, I feel like to have a family that you can talk with in order to grow, you know, a family that, I don't know, like, my family is really sincera. Like, they will never lie to you about anything. Mm-hmm. If they, for example, my mother, no, if she doesn't like what I'm wearing, she will be like, I hate it. I don't like it at all, and I don't understand it, but I respect if you want to use that skirt.
But I respect. No? That's, you know, that's good.
But I feel like a family like that, or any family, if there's something like you, if como si hay un lugar donde puedes recargar, es la familia, porque ellos te van a amar, te van a decir la verdad, y en esta industria, like in this industry, it's so easy to feel alone that family, it's like the secret weapon. No?
Uh-huh.
Si me matan, si es que me encuentran. Llénenme de flores, cúbranme de tierra.
That doesn't surprise me about your mom at all, because I remember you telling me about her and your ballet class and the girls being mean and her being like, well, screw it.
Yeah.
We don't need them.
I love that.
It's amazing.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, screw them.
She's a strong woman.
My dad,
but you know, my dad also, but like my mom, she's like a strong, she's like a force of nature, really. It's so inspiring just to see her do what she does. Like, she constructs violins. Like, it's like, it's so hard.
Yeah.
You know?
Are there parts of you that you feel like, I mean, obviously parts of you that are her, but in your music, are there certain moments or parts, are there things that you're resisting in your music that you feel like are inspired by your family, by your mom?
One thing I like the most about my music and something that I can really relate to my family is the feeling of keeping things clear. The feeling of, I need this to be simple. My family, it's, you know, I can imagine like my mom doing like the most delicious soup or the most delicious food only with three ingredients, no? Because there's no more ingredients. We have this. So we will make the best of this. That's sort of what I do with my songs. I have these three chords. I have these words, but are like, I promise, the best words I could find to say this. And then the production is like, I only have these two other sounds, but I promise these are the sounds that I need. I don't need the rest. This is truly what I need to enjoy this song. That's something about my family. That's something about Veracruz also. You know, Veracruz is like, we always do a lot of things, even if it's not like a super rich community, no? But we do beautiful things. We have many, many artists in Veracruz doing beautiful things. Mm-hmm. And only because we want.
It's like you all share a really strong spirit and a really, like, you have fuerza, you have, like, this
strength.
You're,
sí.
Like,
sí.
You get your resilient spirit from them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel definitely. Like I just, like, all of your music makes sense to me now. I'm like, oh, of course, make something spectacular out of something so minimal.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, definitely. Ah, mira, nunca pensé en eso, ¿eh? ¡Qué fuerte!
Learn something new every day.
Well, you know, I got to say, since you did study jazz singing and you study jazz, you know, that minimalist resilience, but that minimalist attitude or perspective is very Miles Davis. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I love right? to hear that. Oh, my
very
God.
Miles.
She's like melting at the comparison.
Yeah, it's very Miles. It's just not an explosion of notes, just the right notes in the right space at the right time. And it's sort of the essence of your music as well, because it doesn't come at you as like a wall of sound and everything. It's very, very precise and very calculated. Not calculated in a bad way, but very orchestrated in its simplicity.
Oh my God. It's the first time that someone compares me with Miles. I'm going to cry.
You know, someone once told me about Miles. They said that, I forget who it was. It was a quote from someone else, but they were saying that, like, the way that you knew that Miles was truly, truly, truly one of the greats is he could take anything. Like, you give him literally any beat, any melody, any sound, and he could turn it into something beautiful. And I've always thought about that concept because I'm like, what excellence? But also, like, everything you're saying to me, too, about, like, taking the good and the bad and whatever life throws at you and, like, turning that into something meaningful for people to connect with. I mean, that's, like, that's really, really something special.
Yeah. But, you know, that's something... Just what you said is, sometimes I feel like that's art, to transcend the tragedy and turn it into something beautiful. As Natalia said, something that people will carry forever, no? Now that we're talking about Miles, it's like, I think he's so special because he played all those odd rhythms on super hardcore harmonies, but also all the ballads, you know, every song. And he was himself. He was like, I know in this world there's tragedy. He lived some crazy racism stories and he turned everything into beautiful notes. For me, that's why he's so important at so many levels, no? As a performer, as a composer, just a personality. Something that I can relate between this greatness of the art and the folklore is exactly that. The ability to take all the problems, the tragedy, and turn it into son jarocho, into décimas, into rancheras, you know, like el corrido mexicano. El corrido mexicano is like to read the papers, to read the news, no?
Yeah, exactly.
And I love that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's what we're all raised on, right? Like, that's how, like, the Mexicans, that's how Latinos, like, that's how we communicate. That's how you, like, share the
Definitely.
Stories. Like, this is what it means to be a person.
But you can see that in the blues. You can see that in the samba. You can see that in el flamenco. You know, folklore, it's definitely a necessity of all cultures and also art. So that's why sometimes I compare all that we're saying, no? It's like, oh, so art, it's also folklore, no?
What you mentioned, each one of those genres, they're an expression of people, of a group of people, right? And it's the way they communicate, their loves, their hurts, their frustrations, their hopes and their dreams, all of flamenco, samba, corrido, todo.
It's true.
Wow, Silvana, you are a true artiste.
Porque el silencio entre tus brazos se hace dulce y mi amor. Porque en tus manos yo me curo los derrumbes, mi amor. Y porque el miedo que se esconde entre la gente va a acabar cuando vean la maravilla que es amar.
You know what's crazy? When we did that interview, I was like, okay, this is really cool, like, great conversation. Love Silvana. She's amazing. And now listening to it again, you know how some things they just need to take time to simmer and then you revisit them at a different point in your life and you're like, wow. And everything she was just saying and everything we were talking about the ways that she is creating this joy and leaning into the pain and just finding ways to, like, build on an entire legacy of, like, a Mexican legacy of doing this sonically is, like, oh, my God, it could not be more impactful in this moment to me right now. I'm, like... beyond, and I think that just speaks to the timelessness of her as an artist. To me, this is a snapshot of a moment of her where she already is creating this experience and this feeling in people and is already, like, building something that is truly deeply rooted in this legacy that, to me, I feel like will only continue to grow into something incredible. I feel like we're seeing the start of something amazing.
Part of the magic, too, is the post-pandemic reality that we're in that people are looking for something, exactly what she's talking about. whether they're people your age or my age. She's an artist for this time, completely.
And I love that you know that it's like people my age or it's people your age or it's anyone, because I think that sometimes, you know, we talk to these artists or we'll talk to younger artists, right? And we're like, oh, well, they're trying to, you know, build something or make sense of the world or build community or all of these things that feel like intrinsically young things. And as people, we never stop seeking, right? I think in some ways, like we never stop looking for ways to make sense and to find joy and all of these beautiful things that she has such an incredible grasp on. I loved when she talked about kind of like Son Jarocho and all of these more traditional, long-lasting Mexican traditional sounds that she's like, this is what they were doing. They were taking what was around them. They were taking the challenges and the pains and all of that in life, and they were channeling it into this music and making it joyful despite all of this. I just thought that the fact that she like has the perspective to know that, then of course it's present in her music, and of course it will only continue to be present and grow in her music.
I can't not think about some of the artists that we've covered over the years, that being part of their musical persona, watching her develop over the years and taking in all these things that she's experienced and now and becoming we don't know who in the future. That's going to be a nice, joyful ride.
She speaks to the soul, man. She's got that magic to her, I think, truly. In how she talks and in, you don't even have to hear the words, in just how she sings. I love how you talked about her precision. I was like, yeah, there is something so intentional about every single thing that she creates. And I have to believe that there's something behind her. Like, she is pulling on the power of the ancestors to make that happen. I don't know, because how she could be, like, so young and so just, she gets to the heart.
Okay, got to let our listeners know that you and I are on Zoom, and I just saw your hand motion of what you did.
But that's, I'm like, just... I can't even put it into words.
But that's
just
the best part.
I'm, like, flowing. It's just, ugh.
That's the best part. That's the best part of Silvana Estrada and what she brings out in us. So it's great, great to hear all of that in the interview this week, which means you get to say...
You have been listening to Alt Latino.
Our editor, who is also on the Zoom with us this week, is Hazel Sills. Hi, Hazel. We can't see you, but we can wave at you.
Our amazing production assistant is Fee O'Reilly, also on the Zoom.
Grace Chung keeps us together, and our jefe-in-chief, Keith Jenkins.
Felix, you forgot our fabulous audio editor, Ron Scalzo.
I didn't forget him. I was waiting for you to say it, honestly, seriously. This is the kind of mood this conversation with Silvana's put us in. Very lighthearted, a lot of fun. We'll be back next week with another interview. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Felix Contreras.
I'm Ana Maria Sayer.
Go ahead, say it.
Thanks for listening.
There you go. Okay, before we go, we want to remind you about a short, anonymous way you could help us out. Please tell us what you like and how we could improve by going to npr.org/AltLatinoSurvey. That's npr.org/AltLatinoSurvey. You can find the link in our show notes. Thanks a lot. Okay, we said our goodbyes, but we got to sneak this in. The little bit of music that she played for us when she first got to the studio. Right, Anna?
Oh, my God. I was, like, absolutely. There's nothing like seeing Silvana sing live, like, this many feet in front of you. And she made it special just for us.
Here we go.
NPR, NPR. NPR, NPR. NPR, NPR, NPR.
Un concierto privado, ¿verdad?
In this country, more than two local newspapers are closing down each week. As news deserts grow, public radio is a lifeline for staying informed. Keep that service strong with a donation to the NPR network at donate.npr.org. And thank you.
Across America, history is often recorded on small markers. You've probably seen them on the sides of roads, in front of buildings, in the middle of nowhere. NPR's Laura Sullivan spent a year investigating thousands of markers and found a distorted version of America's history, but also curiosities, humor, and joy. Listen to the new episode of The Sunday Story on the Up First podcast from NPR.
Over the past couple decades, the U.S. has lost about a third of its newspapers, taking thousands of local journalists off their beat. A functioning democracy and functioning local journalism go hand in hand. We're trying to do our part, and that's why we need you to do your part. Make sure that the NPR network stays strong by supporting us at donate.npr.org. And thank you.